The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back as we head into hour two. I am Seth Leibson. 602-508-0960 is the number, 602-5089-60. I did not mention last hour, I should mention at the top of this one, our event, March 26th, coming up nigh upon us, fighting for
One week away.
Yeah, fighting for freedom. We're bringing in Mike Gallagher, Brandon Tatum, and I will all be on stage with you at Arizona Christian University. I expect to see you there. We're going to have a great time. We have VIP tickets still for sale, and because of the generosity of Y Refi, they have slashed the prices for general admission. You can get tickets at 960thepatriot.com. We'll be talking about all the issues we talk about on this show, on Brandon's show, on Mike's show. We'll be talking about the election, and we're going to do a lot of give and take with you. So it'll be a lot of fun, as these things always are. 960thepatriot.com. Young David and I look very much forward to seeing you.
Sure, and
there.
I'd like to tell our audience about some of the special deals that we have for them in terms of tickets.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard about this, but just yesterday we sent out a big email to our Patriot insiders. And if you're listening to this right now, I'd love to give you the same offer that we gave them.
Okay.
And that's appreciation. That's code word appreciation for 2-for-1 tickets. So if you put one ticket in your cart, use the word appreciation, you're going to get a free ticket of any ticket level.
No kidding.
Yeah.
How nice.
2-for-1 tickets.
Well, you can't beat that with a stick. Wonderful. Thank you. 960thepatriot.com for a Fighting for Freedom event with Mike Gallagher. I was talking to him. He's very excited about it. As well he should be, as well you all should be. Young David has an Instagram account I've been sending people to, Answer the Call with Dahl.
Yes.
For those that love food and music, he does these great food making videos, and he really struggles.
I struggle?
Well, this is a compliment. You struggle to get the perfect music to accompany it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a struggle.
Yeah, no, you do. And it's really fun. So we've been showing those. If you're on Instagram, Answer the Call with Dahl. His most recent effort was Irish Soda Bread and Chicken Kiev.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those were our two most recent additions.
And you ate some Chicken Kiev for lunch today.
I had the last of the leftovers, which means I'm going to have to do something else with my life this week for food.
What are you going to make?
And my thinking...
Yeah.
Don't.
Can you make? Will you take
folks.
Requests? Will you take requests?
Only if you buy all the ingredients.
Okay.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Well, don't hold it to it, folks. But I think I'm gonna do like a fried chicken. I've got a lot of leftover flour. Got some buttermilk in the fridge. Maybe put a little hot sauce in there. Some hot honey. Not sure. We're thinking about it.
It's going to be great.
You know what? There was a video. You could probably still get it. There's this place called Soda Lax in Texas. And this was all the rage about 15 years ago. Soda Lax in Texas that did chicken fried bacon.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
no,
you got to take a look at that video. It's really funny.
I don't have a deep fryer. I have to do this
all right,
all
just look at it on the break. I mean, I can't eat it, but you check it out. Chicken fried bacon. Okay, where was I? Yes, we were covering the hearings on Afghanistan, CENTCOM, and Joint Chiefs of Staff, Generals. Testifying that they were not listened to, and this is going to be a little bit of a headline tomorrow, and then it will be forgotten. I don't know if you have if many of you have seen the movie The Marathon Man. Dustin Hoffman, he's writing a dissertation, and there's this kind of interesting dialogue with his professor asking him what he plans to write his dissertation on. And he says, tyranny, sir, tyranny. And I guess that's the version of plastics in his earlier movie, right? But although it wasn't said by him, it was who, Mr. McGuire? Tyranny. I am obsessed of late with not so much tyranny, but the road to it based on the works of George Orwell. The more Orwell I read, The more slack-jawed I become about the things he saw in the 1930s and 1940s. You know, we all kind of grew up understanding the dangers of propaganda. We all understood the dangers of propaganda that led to some of the worst revolutions, or if not revolutions, just some of the worst governments, some of the worst some of the worst governments in history. Nazi Germany was based on propaganda, for example. Tyrannies maintain their power and puissance by the use of propaganda. I am fascinated by it. And the corruption of language, both of which were obsessions of Orwell. We all kind of grew up knowing the dangers of this stuff. I even remember seeing films on, movies on, well, they were really films, instructional films on, like, the dangers of subliminal advertising, let us say. The way minds are shaped in an open society, or a previously opened society, the way minds are shaped, it fascinates me. And that's why I'm so interested in how the Washington Post does things, and how the New York Post does things, and how NBC does things, and how Joe Biden talks about things. I'm so very interested in it because this is how we get the governments that we get. And now I have been focused on the abuse of the language, as Orwell wrote about it, the abuse of the language in ways that allow the government to tyrannize us through social media coercion, as the Supreme Court heard arguments on yesterday. Where you even have Supreme Court justices saying the Bill of Rights applies to the government. You can't hamstring the government under the First Amendment, which is a complete, unbelievably misguided view of the First Amendment. I think if you were in law school in con law and you wrote that in your law school exam, you'd probably lose a lot of marks for it. After all, the first words of the First Amendment, or Congress shall make no law, it is aimed at the government. It's not aimed at the people. The government doesn't need a Bill of Rights. The government has all the power. The people need the Bill of Rights so that they are ensured not to have too much of their power taken from them, their liberties, their civil liberties. I'm fascinated by this and how they shaped narratives during COVID, as I spoke about in my monologue, now that we're 4 years away from 15 days to slow the spread, and everything that turned this country into the turmoil it was turned into by the use and abuse of that coercive government interference in censorship. And now we have AI. Now we have Google's woke AI that we didn't speak probably quite enough about over the last month when people were discovering it. But there's a piece in the Free Press today by Francesca Bloch and Olivia Rheingold. I should like to go through with you, and I'll do so here. It's called "Google's Woke AI Wasn't a Mistake. We Know We Were There." They opened by saying it was a display that would have blown even Orwell's mind. Search for images of Nazis. And Google's AI chat box shows you almost exclusively artificially generated black Nazis. Search knights, and you get female Asian knights. Search popes, and it's women popes. Ask it to share the Hooti slogan or define a woman, and Google's new product says that it will not, in order to prevent harm. As for whether Hitler or Elon Musk is more dangerous, the AI chatbot says that it is complex and requires careful consideration. You got that? Who's more dangerous, Hitler or Elon Musk? Google says it's an open question. Ask it the same question about Obama and Hitler, however, and it will tell you the question is inappropriate and misleading, shaming you for asking, shaming you for doing the research of whether the AI chatbot is treating conservatives and liberals the same in their analogs or analogies or comparisons to Adolf Hitler. The world has been horrified and amused by the extreme ideological bent of Gemini, Google's much-hyped new AI tool, which the company launched last month. But Sean McGuire, who was a partner at Google's Ventures, excuse me, at Google Ventures, the company's investment wing from 2016 until 2019, had a different reaction. "I was not shocked at all," he told the Free Press. "When first Google Gemini photos popped up on my X feed, I thought to myself, here we go again. And of course, because I know Google well, Google Gemini's failures revealed how broken Google's culture is in such a visually obvious way to the world. But what happened was not a one-off incident. It was a symptom of larger cultural phenomena that have been taking place over the company for years." What happens when Google, private industry, becomes Big Brother? We'll pick up on that when we come right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, coming to you live from the 960 Patriot Broadcast Studio, brought to you by the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, your trusted source for precious metals. What do you do when private enterprise becomes Big Brother as much as government? Before I continue on that, let me just go to Joshua real quick in Gilbert, who's calling in on something slightly different, I think, but maybe not. Joshua, hi, how are you?
Hey, Seth. Sorry to take you off your...
No. It's fine. You know the rule around here. Everything is related. Everything is related.
No, I appreciate it. I was just kind of making mention. I think I saw today that I think it was Peter Navarro is doing his 4 months sentence for his apparently contempt of Congress. Yeah. And I remember I thought there was something about Hunter Biden they were going to do that or anything like that. And of course, you know, I don't think that's obviously gone anywhere. And I guess my broader point is it's really starting to get really frustrating that we still just don't seem to be doing anything about anything. And there's been some, you know, some guys that I watch, Tim Pool, I think I've mentioned before, is kind of, you know, a great libertarian to listen to. And he kind of made the point that he just finds it completely shocking that there's not like one district attorney, county attorney anywhere in the United States that doesn't have like some reason to, I don't know, make charges against the Bidens or anything, that it just always seems to go one way. And it's just, you know, I just don't know. You know, the Republicans at this point, I kind of blame just as much, if not more, than the Democrats.
I take the point. I take the point. Yeah. I do. You know, of course, it's different with a sitting president and criminal charges. But the contempt of Congress stuff, absolutely, you're right. Eric Holder was held in contempt of Congress. Do you remember him behind bars? I don't.
I remember that.
Yeah. I don't remember him behind bars. There are two rules. There's one for the Greeks and one for the Romans in this country. Quod licet jovi, non licet bovi. What's good for the gods is not what's good for the swine, and we're the swine. There's two different rules. Now, here's the good news, sort of. The good news, sort of, but it goes to your underlying point about just as mad at the Republicans. The good news, sort of, is, as with almost everything we dissent from or critique or complain about here, they do have political solutions. There are political solutions to all these things. So, for example, if at the federal level you are disturbed by the way the federal courts are ruling or federal judges and justices are ruling, it is a president who appoints those people to those benches. And the president, you know, is obviously either going to be a Democrat or a Republican. Republicans need to get serious about this. And if you don't like political prisoners in this country, which you should not like, you need to have serious efforts to elect Republicans. This is why, Joshua, this is why I am so consumed with the kind of person, maybe you know this kind of person, who will say, I guess I'll vote for Trump, but I'm not really going to be doing much about it beforehand, and I'm not going to really get involved in the campaign. Or I guess I'll vote for Carrie Lake on Election Day, but I'm not really going to, you know, get behind her until then or something. You've heard of these people, right? You probably know some. I do. And
correct.
And I just think to myself, I was talking with my friend Steve about this the other day. I think about people who say these sorts of things. I want to ask them, well, why are you going to vote for them on Election Day? Well, obviously, I prefer them to the liberal or the leftist. Okay. Okay, you don't have to have a graduate degree in political philosophy and have a, and read Immanuel Kant to know that you cannot will the ends if you do not will the means. You cannot get the ends that you want or think you deserve if you are not willing to put the effort in to getting that done. And simply showing up and voting is the least amount you can do. It's the least amount you can do, especially if you have other abilities, time on your hands, perhaps money on your hands, perhaps a little bit where you can volunteer, friends you know you can volunteer, a weekend here and there, something, calling a show, writing a letter. There's a million little things that can be done. That's an exaggeration. But there are tens and tens of things that can be done to help a candidate, whether you have financial means or not. And people that just think this is kind of a spectator sport, and yeah, I guess I'll do it on election day. It's not helpful. It's not how you win. It's not how you win overwhelmingly, which is what we need to do to shake this system up. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating because we will have this again and again and again, and I guarantee you we will have more political prisoners in the future.
No, I totally agree. And just real quick, and then I'll let you go. I forget if you kind of felt the same way, but for Mike Pence to be coming out now and saying he's not going to be endorsing Trump, I mean,
this is erosion. Yeah, I'm going to have to put you on hold because I'm getting a lot of feedback, but you can hear me perhaps. This is erosion. This is, what was the book we read in college, Minority Vote Dilution, I think it was titled. And it was a liberal book or a liberal left-wing book about, you know, how minorities' interests are diluted by the voting structures and the voting systems. But Minority Vote Dilution, I don't know. I think we Republicans are probably in the minority. I don't think we're in the overwhelming majority. I think most of us would agree with that. But to the degree we're in the minority in the sense that there's probably a lot of independents who will join us if they hear a cogent argument. But we're not an overwhelming majority in this country, obviously. You look at the House of Representatives. You look at the Senate. You look at the presidency. You look at the, you know, and we're just not the overwhelming majority. This is not 1985. My point is this. When someone like Mike Pence does that, I saw him interviewed. I think it was Cavuto, one of those shows on Fox. I'm pretty sure it was Cavuto. And Cavuto said, will you run as an independent? He goes, I'm a Republican. I won't run as an independent. I'm a Republican. Well, if you're a Republican and you're running and have been served by the party that worked its fanny off for you, and if you believe in Republican principles, and if you believe the greatest threat to this country is everything you said about the Democrats and the left when you were running, why would you not do everything you possibly can to ensure that that Democratic left that you campaigned against doesn't get into power? And there's only, if you're a Republican, one way to do that. And that's support the Republican nominee. Do you disagree with 50% of what he stood for? 60%? 70%? No, you don't. You disagree with something that happened one day or maybe even a month. Maybe. But policy-wise, you're willing to let this country go down the toilet over your own personal sense of self-moral superiority? That's not statesmanship. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960, coming to you live from the 960 Patriot Broadcast Studio, brought to you by the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, your trusted source for precious metals. Dave in Surprise, been a long time. Dave, how are you, sir? Welcome back.
Very blessed. Thank you, teacher. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're too kind to say that, but thank you. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Of course. Yeah, I'm glad that I joined today and could hear your response to the previous callers. It is kind of shocking that we still live in the United States of apathy, isn't it?
Yes.
Because we've watched Operation Chaos in full-blown regalia in all of its wonder since 2020 when George Floyd happened, and the establishment class just doesn't stop punishing us achievers. It seems like at every turn we get hit again and again and again.
Yeah, it feels like at every turn there is, I used the word erosion earlier, and maybe that's too weak of a word. It seems there's a real chipping at the rock, doesn't there? There's a real sculptor move here going on to kind of chip away at kind of everything that used to be, you know? You look at what some of these private corporations, these airlines are doing with DEI, God knows. I mean, it's one thing in the university, but what about things that really do matter, you know, where they emphasize, or the military, where they emphasize politics and ideology over, yeah, as you put it, achievement or competence or success or even just ability. There is some kind of revolution taking place. It's a soft revolution that's going to end up leaving us with a hard result, I think. But it's soft in the sense that it's being done without a gun. It's being done without a bayonet. It's being done through levers of power we didn't even know existed.
Well, and unfortunately, we the people, in my humble opinion, continue to fail our republic. And I say that, the father of two young daughters, 24 and 19, not to even realize how corrupted their minds have become. I still think that 70% of the population is conservative from all the work that I did in 2020 and 2022 on the ground, and I'm going to another campaign event now. But the fact of the matter is, most of the conservatives, which I think is most of the population, are fine just kind of sitting on their hands, not getting involved, not doing their duty, voting, participating in the levers of government at the most basic and local of levels. So I'm glad some of us have woken up, and I hope more of us continue to, because there's some dire days in front of us. Yesterday was the only easy day.
Yeah, right. That's an old, yeah, right. I take the point. It's a slogan from the Army, yeah? Is it Army or Marines? I think it's Army. Maybe it's Marines.
Believe it.
Yeah, it might be Marines. Yes, sir. It might be Marines. But, Dave, when you say 70% of the country is conservative, do you mean like morally conservative or politically conservative, or how do you mean that?
I think it's both. I'm not to imply that you are, but I'm not naive enough to think, based on what I saw in 2020, in 2022, especially in 2022 when 60% of the voting centers had malfeasance in them, that people don't vote conservatively overwhelmingly. But the way the media portrays all this stuff, and like the stuff with President Trump now, I don't think they ever intended to put him in jail. I think their messaging for the next round of steals, and then their message will be ex post facto, oh, see, the American public came to their senses. They went behind the curtain to vote, and they couldn't vote for a convicted felon, an insurrectionist, and they finally came to their senses, and they put the career politician back in place. And unfortunately, I think most of our side will be like, yeah, I guess that's probably true, when in fact they're destroying our republic brick by brick by brick.
Yeah, I take the point, but I don't know that I'm as convinced as you are that the percentage of the country is as conservative as you say. You and I have it probably are going to have a disagreement on this, or might agree to disagree, because whatever the shenanigans that took place were, it would still, even if you reversed, you know, the Biden Trump numbers, it's still so damn close. It's just so damn close. I don't think we have a monopoly on ideology here. I think, you know, a generation and a half of our education system and our media being in the vice grip of the left and socialism has made its mark, has proven its point. Seth Leibson here from my friends from the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank. While the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank, that belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do, a controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call to the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group at 480-360-3000 or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 480-360-3000 or MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group. MAGA and proud of it, MidasGoldGroup.com. I took a friend of ours, young David, to the Dirty Drummer, and a friend of ours who's a little bit older than me.
Yeah?
And I said, how are those not the best wings you've ever had?
They are.
And he said, and he's a little older than me, he said, those are the best wings I've ever had in my life. And I said, I know. And he yelled at me, my life.
My life.
Yeah.
Those are that good. Are you starting to get hungry as it gets closer to the dinner hour?
You have to get the grilled wings. I have a problem. I've lost my appetite.
What do you mean?
I haven't eaten since then, and that was Sunday.
Just try eating. It's like when you work out a lot, and then you don't really feel hungry after you work out, but then you have like one morsel of food, and you're ravenous, and you don't realize how hungry you are. Just try eating, and then you might realize just how hungry you are.
Did you ever read The Phantom Tollbooth?
No.
Do you know The Phantom Tollbooth?
Is this a satirical take on taxes in the Midwest?
Not really. It was a children's book that I thought was popular by Norman Juster. You know I love children's literature. And it's about a boy named Milo, I think, and his dog Talk, if I'm not mistaken. Phantom Tollbooth. Check it out. They go to a place called Digitopolis, and they eat when they're full. Yes, they eat when they're full and they sleep when they're awake. And what they eat is subtractions stew. The more you eat, the hungrier you get. Yeah, subtractions stew.
It doesn't sound very logical.
Well, it's a children's book. All right, so
it ought to be logical.
Huh?
It ought to be logical then if it's teaching them logic.
Yeah, we'll save children's literature for later. We'll do a show on that later.
We'll do that.
I want to say something about what Dave was calling about, which is, and I guess it goes to children's literature in a sense. Plato, the Greek philosopher, Aristotle's teacher, puts it that the two most important questions a society can ask are who teaches the children and what are they being taught? Used to be that the what are they being taught seemed to me the most important question. Then somewhere around the early 2000s, the aughts, we started talking more and more about the importance of teacher quality. And how much a great teacher can move a student's ability to learn. And there was some interesting studies out of the Hoover Institution at Stanford by an economist named Eric Hanischek, the difference between having a good teacher versus a bad teacher, and what the pool of bad teachers, minority of teachers though they were, can mean for the economy over the course of about a century. It can mean, as I remember his numbers, over the course of a century, over the course of a child's lifetime, about 80 years. Over the course of 80 years, it can mean something like the loss of $100 trillion. You could solve our national debt with good teachers, with a commitment to teacher quality. So we started with concern about the content of what was being taught. And then we started thinking about who the teaching was being done by, who the teachers were. And then, of course, COVID still on our minds. We got to see through libs of TikTok and what Ron DeSantis was doing and what the teachers unions were doing, basically 2020 forward. And you saw that we're not now just talking about teacher quality and great teachers and excellent teachers and, you know, trying to fish in that pool and reward great teachers. It's beyond that. It's teachers who are borderline nuts that we're now having to be worried about, if not beyond the borderline, across the line of just nuts. You see some of this stuff that the libs of TikTok were putting out, Haya Rye Chicken and others. And you realize what Dave said about what the next generation is going to have is of concern that I don't even have the right vocabulary to speak in the superlative about. I mean, young David, you're kind of unique in your generation because you're a really serious dude and you go above and beyond in your studies and stuff, and you're not alone, but you're not common either. You're not the majority of your generation. So we're blessed, obviously, to have you in our country and in our lives. But think about the generation that's even less than that that's coming up the pike. And the thing that I was thinking about that brought up that Plato quote in my mind and that situation to the fore is the quote from Ronald Reagan that we all pretty much know so well and give such lip service to. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. That's not the end of the point. We often stop there. That's not the end of the quote. The next part is the most important part. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, taught for them to do the same, or one day we'll spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. That second sentence, it doesn't just pass through the bloodstream. It's not congenital. It's not just going to be transmitted through osmosis. It has to be fought for and taught. And the left knew this. And we quoted it and didn't know it. And that's why the left has these huge swaths of lefties, of socialists, running this country, not at merely the political elected office bureaucratic level, but in private corporations, as I was reading from the Free Press about chatbot Google's AI. Portions of this show brought to you by our good friends at YRefi. Check them out at investyrefi.com, investyrefi.com. Invest the letter Y, then refy.com, or give them a call at 888-YREFI24. Heck of a great company and investment opportunity for you. It's a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio where you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return, a 10.25% fixed rate of return, and it's not correlated to the Federal Reserve or the stock market. If you're worried about the vicissitudes of either, it's not correlated to them. You are in control with YRefi. You can turn your income on. You can turn it off. You can compound it. There are absolutely no fees with YRefi. You get total peace of mind in that there is no attack on principle if you ever need your money back. And, of course, with YRefi, you get a monthly statement with no surprises. So check them out at investyrefi.com, invest the letter Y, then refy.com, 888-YREFI24. They did a big underwriting of our March 26th event coming up a week from tonight with Mike Gallagher, Brandon Tatum, myself, and some other special guests. So you can get tickets at 960thepatriot.com for that. We have general admission, which YREFI underwrote and cut the prices of dramatically for y'all. And we have VIP tickets available as well. It'll be a lot of fun. We expect to see you there. When we were talking yesterday about you got a text and I got a text.
I got a text too.
We got a thumbs up.
Was that the gentleman in question who said it was the best wings
no.
of his life?
No, but nobody knows the gentleman in question.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we got... Whenever we play a Bob Dylan song, we wake up Steve, don't we?
Oh, was that a Bob Dylan song?
Yeah, that's what that was about.
I didn't realize that the birds were covering Dylan.
You didn't know that was a Dylan cover?
No. I'm about
My Back Pages? How? Oh, where have you been?
I'm in trouble.
Where... Do you even listen to this show?
Sometimes.
I did a whole monologue on it.
Yeah, but I didn't realize that it came from Dylan. The virtues of the song are inherent whether or not we know what the origin of it is.
Oh, I think it matters. I think it matters. How do you know you're walking amongst a great... Okay. Now I'm mad.
That's the genetic fallacy.
Now I don't like ending an hour mad. You've made me mad.
That's the genetic.
We're going to talk about war as a result. You've made me mad.
I've made you mad. It's war.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.